So the journey from discouragement to destiny. Anybody else out there have a few bouts of discouragement in the past year or so, or maybe this week, maybe today? I've got to admit, I'm usually not one that get down or discouraged, but I've had a couple bouts, you know, in just the past several months. And it's just, you know, it's what the world wants to do to us, is get us discouraged and questioning and all that. So I think this is going to be a great lesson in that regard as we look at the life of Gideon there in Judges. So if you turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, we're just going to read the first 13 verses. So once you're there, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word, again, if you're able, you can stand up on the inside. We'll read the first 13 verses of chapter 6. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." I just stopped there and I thought, I wonder if they drew art on some of those cave walls. But anyway, that's a whole different message probably. Verse 3. "And so it was then, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered in to the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." And then a real sad phrase, "But ye have not obeyed my voice." Verse 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezite, and his son Gideon, on threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we once again are just so thankful for your word, Lord, and just the lessons you have in there for us to learn, even from these people of ages ago, Lord, but it is just so true today as it was then, and has things for us to learn from them and their reactions. Today, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand how we are hindered but through our living in fear. Lord, that we would trust you for our feelings of inadequacy or our insecurity, of just not feeling worthy. Help us with those, Lord, and trust you. And as we have trials, Lord, help us to choose to allow you to grow and to prove our faith. Lord, those trials that can be used to further our walk with you, and I pray that we would just come to understand that in a new way this morning. And then, Lord, help us to recognize your provision when we respond to you in obedience. And then when you bless us because of that, help us, Lord, to recognize that and give you all the praise and glory for doing that for us. Lord, you deserve our love and all the credit we can give you. So just be with each of us this morning. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and that you would just speak to your people's hearts and just give them encouragement and peace and comfort and a life without fear this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious and wonderful, glorious name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So the journey from discouragement to destiny. Not two words you usually think of, you know, we get discouraged and destiny, but we'll see this morning how that can hold us back, you know, being discouraged and the feelings that come with that. You know, there's a start out with a story about a parakeet, a Max Lucado story, actually, that was at first, he first told it in October of 2012. And I looked it up online. You know, it's amazing what you can Google nowadays. And it's a true story. And in fact, NBC ran a news and interviewed this lady and what happened. It was Chippy the parakeet. He never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Chippy's problems began when his owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She'd barely said hello when, whoop, we've all heard that sound. Usually it's our socks or something, I think. But Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, opened up the container, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. I was glad to report there's no animals that were hurt too bad during this thing. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted him again with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. Well, a few days after the trauma, a reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And I thought, you know, some days we just want to sit there and stare, don't we? We just kind of find ourselves looking out there and staring, or we just feel like sitting and staring. So how do we move past our discouragement to discover our destiny? Many people today choose to wallow in discouragement rather than to accept God's help and to move forward. Gideon lived during the period of the Judges, a time when Israel lived wickedly in the sight of God. The Judges were discerning men who governed and directed the Israelites for 339 years from the days of Moses and Joshua until the time of Saul. 339 years, you know, we're going to be a country from the Declaration of Independence, 245 years. You go back 339 years, that puts us in the year 1682. The colonies were just kind of getting formed, you know, probably had 1.5 million people living there on the East Coast. So quite a while, if you think from then to now, and that's how long it had been under the Judges. Verse 6 of our text tells us that the children of Israel were living in constant fear and impoverishment. This condition was a consequence of disobedience to the Lord, as it's stated in verse 10. We see similar problems in our own society today, as many people are discouraged about the state of sin and despair in our country. Yeah, this was written last month. I mean, seriously. We have lost our moral compass. We have taken our freedom and gone wild. And as I meditated on that, you know, we're using freedom of morality nowadays to take away our freedom of choices and options and actions. We can't do anything all in the name of freedom of morality. Boy, we have gone wild in that area. In 2002, the state of Louisiana was sued by the ACLU for teaching abstinence. Wouldn't want that taught in school. The ACLU believes this teaching is forcing religion upon the students. Couldn't have that. 2002. A recent article says this, so that was first in 2008, again updated in 2012, in a magazine published by Kaiser Permanente. Many of you might have that as your Medicare insurance company. That's one of the big medical insurance companies. The article stated that sexually transmitted diseases are not a moral issue. In other words, being immoral is not immoral. That's kind of how the confusing message they put out there nowadays. In 1970, there were 200,000 people in prison. As of 2008, there were 1.5 million. As many as live in our fourth largest city, Houston. And I looked, in 2016, so 5 years ago, there's 2.3 million in prison in the U.S. and 9.8 in the world. And then actually I looked up, well, what about today? And I don't remember the exact number, it was still like 2.5 million, but last year, it actually decreased. And I thought, that's even scarier when you think about it. With everything going on and all the crime and the stuff happening, that, you know, we're letting more out than we're putting in. Even though it's a terrible number that are in prison, you know, it's just the way things are going in the laws and in our country, and it's sad. The list of problems and the sin prevalent in our world today could go on and on. And that is discouraging. You know, we just have to, yeah, that's not a fun number to think about. But as Christians, how do we move from discouragement to fulfilling our God-given purposes? We can learn from the life of a man named Gideon. God called Gideon to lead the children of Israel out of discouragement to find their destiny. Although he was not a man of unusual faith and boldness, he willingly followed God on his journey for the faith, as we want to on our journey of faith. So number one, we see the paralysis of fear. Paralysis of fear. On your worksheet there, Judges 6, 22 and 23, says, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. The command to fear not is given dozens of times in God's word, yet many still suffer from the paralysis of fear. Gideon was one of those people. The circumstances in which he lived caused him to hide in desperation rather than trust God. Researchers in Johns Hopkins University reported 30 years ago, so that'd be 40 years ago now, that they list the grade school to list their greatest fears. The children answered, number one, animals. Two, being in a dark room. Three, high places. Four, strangers. Five, loud noises. 40 years ago. Today, so this being 10 years ago, they listed this. Number one, divorce. Number two, nuclear war. Three, cancer. Four, pollution. Five, being mugged. I thought, wow, that's quite a change from being afraid of the dark and the animals and stuff, some real fears. And many of those might still be. And I thought, okay, 10 years later, what would the kids today list? You know, I'm not sure, but I thought, oh, the media is trying to get them to list cops. you know, COVID, the Jews, the Asians, even Christians. You know, be something in us Christians made the top five of what children are to be afraid of. But that's just the way things are going. But, as always, the opposite of fear is faith. God does not call us to a spirit of fear, but rather to a spirit of faith. Notice the contrast between the two. I created a couple lists, fear and faith. Fear weakens. Faith strengthens. Fear imprisons. Faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. And finally, fear sickens, faith heals. But those are really good, and you can see then just how opposite faith and fear really are. We've seen, and we've all experienced, letter A, that fear leads to isolation. Fear leads to isolation. From our text again, Judges 6:11 said, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So when we first see Gideon, he is threshing wheat in a winepress, hiding from the Midianites. He was isolated and alone. And the Midianites were nomads who dwelt in the east and the southeast region of the Dead Sea. Their genealogy is traced through Abraham's concubine, Keturah. So, you know, kind of part of that area, but we're settled in there. There's an illustration, a story told of a man on vacation who returned to his cabin from a hike. He was badly scratched and bruised. "What happened?" asked his wife. "I met a snake on the trail," he answered. "Don't you remember?" the woman responded. "Yesterday, the ranger told us that none of the snakes up here are poisonous." He said, "They don't have to be poisonous if they make you jump off a 20-foot cliff." Sometimes snakes will do that. I know I've jumped a few feet. Be careful, there's no cliff nearby. This is not the time for Christians to jump off a cliff and live in isolation and fear. Do not let the news headlines or worldly culture drive you to isolation. Determined to punch holes in the darkness by spreading God's love to a world dying in their sin. And we've seen and experienced letter B. Fear leads to discouragement. To discouragement. Again from our text, Judges 6:13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Where are you, God? You know, we think that, you know, even if we don't want to think that, you hear people even maybe ask us that. Why is this happening? Oh, God, why is this going on? What's happening here? Well, fortunately, our pastor is preaching through Revelation, letting us know why it's happening and kind of what's going on. So we have a little advantage there. Gideon was obviously discouraged by the oppression of the Midianites. When we allow fear to reign in our hearts, discouragement is sure to follow. Worth repeating. When we allow fear to reign in our hearts, discouragement is sure to follow. David was also a man who experienced much discouragement. Notice his prayer there on your worksheet in Psalm 89:49. "Lord, where are thy former loving kindness, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth?" And isn't it great, again, the Bible gives us these men and all their warts and their questions, and it's just, you know, so we can relate to them. You know, the failures of even men like David, you know, perhaps greatest, you know, Israel's greatest human king, and, you know, he had, "Where'd you go, Lord? What happened to you?" But the Bible also tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's not from God. Are you afraid to take on a task God has laid on your heart? You can be sure your fear did not come from the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Again, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Decide today to give your fears to the Lord. Do not linger in isolation and discouragement. Claim his promises and move forward in faith. Which brings us to how to do that. Number two, the proving of faith. The proving of faith. On your worksheet, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith is listening to what God says in his word and then acting on it. We talked about that last week, not only to hear it, but to act on it. Faith is listening to what God says in his word and then acting on it. True faith always requires action, which we see evidenced in Gideon's life. When God first called Gideon, he responded with doubt and reservation. He saw no qualifications in himself to be the deliverer of Israel. on your worksheet, in the verses right after our text, Judges 6, 14 and 15, says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon didn't think he was the guy to do it. He questioned whether God had the right person. His faith was weak at this point. However, God promised that he would be with him, then to help him. God wanted to strengthen Gideon's faith and to put his trust in him. Judges 6:16 there is also, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And remember, though, that letter A, faith is not self-confident. It's not to have self-confidence. Judges 7:2-4, reference there, it tells us, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." In other words, I don't want you to take in credit for it. Verse 3, "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So although the Israelite army mustered only 32,000, which was one-sixth the size of the Midianite host, you know, they had six times many people, and one-sixth of that was still too many. The number was too great. The Lord wanted Gideon and his men to learn true dependence upon him. In verse 3, we notice that the fearful were released from duty. God told Gideon he had too many soldiers. He was to send home all those who did not want to fight. And I remember reading that at first going, well, that kind of makes sense. The ones that are too afraid, or, you know, you don't want them if they're going to turn and run too early anyway. It's not, you know, you don't want the guy hoping to cover your back taken off. So, okay, the fearful get sent home. Well, 22,000 left, leaving Gideon with only 10,000. God was developing the faith of Gideon and of Israel. Gideon started with 32,000 and lost 22,000 in the first test. Then in chapter 7, verse 6, we notice that the negligent were also released from duty. And you think, well, you know the story, and we'll read it, the lapping versus the... Well, if you think about it, if you go down and you're lapping, right, you're bringing the water up, and you can keep looking out over. But if you're bent down, you know, you're being negligent because you're no longer watching for the enemy. And so that's what he used to separate them on the second test, because there were still too many soldiers. After that, another test, 9,700 were sent away. God had prepared Gideon to fight the Midianites with just 300 men. By faith, Gideon trusted God's direction. He is later mentioned in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And there on the worksheet, verses 32 through 34. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of the Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Wow, quite the list that we're reminded of. There were 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were believers in Christ. Our country is founded on that. At the same time they declared their independence from England, they were declaring their dependence on God. When we declare our independence from human help or earthly efforts, we must also declare our dependence on God, not ourselves. What is the task God has for you? Do not let your timid spirit be an excuse for disobedience. Decide to cast your dependence on God. Just as Gideon, our founding fathers, and the hundreds of Christians throughout history have had done and been our example. God will never fail you. So, faith is not self-confident, but it is, letter B, it's God-confident. We can place our confidence in God. Hebrews 11:6, they're on the worksheet. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that. We have to base our faith on that. God saw Gideon's potential. In Judges 6:12, he is referred to as a mighty man of valor. That was probably not how Gideon thought of himself, just as we probably don't think of ourselves that way. But God saw what he could accomplish through a willing vessel. God sees our potential as well. He wants us to put our faith and confidence in him so that he can develop it. Judges 7, 8, 9, there in the worksheet says, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Well, when it was a time to obey God, Gideon's confidence in him did not waver. He obeyed completely, even when the command seemed irrational and unreasonable to the human way of thinking. And I'm thinking, I'm 300, and they've got an army of 150,000 down there. I want hand grenades, right? I want an automatic weapon. I go, come on, you know, give me some missiles, Lord. You know, I'm not thinking of a trumpet and a camp light, you know, going, you got to be kidding me. Yet he obeyed completely. Gideon followed the revelation of God, trusting that he would take care of him. He answered God's call and took up the challenge, realizing that his strength would come from the Lord. Not only did God see Gideon's potential, he blessed Gideon's faith. In chapter 7, Gideon and God's army were delivered from the hands of the Midianites. When we step out in faith, God will never let us down. He always blesses true faith in action. And I thought, you know, that's true. You know, you think, well, you know, we go out soul winning, knock on doors, and not everybody gets saved, right? Something. A lot of times they don't even open the door. You say, well, so how's that a blessing? Well, everybody that's ever done that and you talk to and experience, you come home feeling blessed. You know, it's a blessing just to be obedient and you go out and do it. So it's not necessarily reaching our goal in our own terms, but it's just following God and being faithful. And you get blessed with that. It's amazing. And that's what really we're talking about. He always blesses true faith in action. It's taking that action and stepping out in faith. God blesses it. On your worksheet, Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Always love that verse. If he's for me, doesn't matter if they're against me. And doesn't matter if they slam the door in their face. It just doesn't matter because God's on our side and rewards that. God takes every person on a different journey of faith. Each person is designed as a special creation to fulfill a specific purpose. He does not call every believer to the same task. Your task will probably be different from Gideon's. yet it will still require confidence in God and will result in abundant blessings as you respond to Him. And we're going to have closing songs going to be about that, and I'm going to ask you all to stand and sing it because that means you got the real message this morning, but we'll see that soon. For number three, the provision for the faithful. God provides what we need. Provision for the faithful. My letter A, He provides wisdom. He provides wisdom. A reference there gives us the rest of the story, Judges 7, 19 through 21. It's not printed, but it's not listed. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Then they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Wow. 300 men with trumpets and lights, and they scared away 150,000 of the host troops. God instructed Gideon to give each of the 300 men a trumpet, a pitcher, and a torch. God told Gideon to surround the Midianites, each man in place. When he gave the signal at the beginning of the middle watch, which is just right after midnight, that is kind of a shocking way to get woken up at midnight, they were to blow their trumpets, break the pitchers, and shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Gideon and his army followed God's command. God provided the wisdom for them to stand in their place. We see in verse 21. And it says, and they stood, every man in his place. God desires faithfulness from each of us, asks us to stand in our place. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so it is a man that wandereth from his place. Again, and it's going to be part of our closing song as well, is, you know, we're prone to wander. Man is prone to wander. Yet with God's wisdom, we can make choices that help us remain faithful, to stand strong in our place. May we claim God's wisdom to stay in our place, whether it be as a teacher, nursery worker, parent, friend, or encourager, whatever God may give you to do. He has a specific role for each of us. And He desires that we stay where He puts us. If God puts us there, He enables us to stay there. God also provided wisdom to hold their trumpets and their lights. The army must have felt strange holding trumpets and lights going to battle. You may feel as though you look strange in our world today. You know, to others, we do look strange. I just want to say that. You know, they think we're pretty weird. Well, a quote from Justice Antonin Scalia said, "Christians who actually live according to the Bible in the USA can expect to be viewed as fools." Our Chief Justice said that. Christianity and morals are despised in the society in which we live. Yet, God can give us wisdom to live righteously in a wicked world. God's help, we can stand. George Washington said, "It is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible." It's impossible to do. We're certainly seeing that as we see things crumble around us. The same is also true in our individual lives. We need God and His Word to give us the wisdom needed to govern and to guide our daily lives. From a human perspective, God's battle plan for Gideon was not the method to use in conquering the Midianites. We most likely would have strategized and pursued full force with great weapons of war. What he said, that'd be my choice. Those who will gain confidence in God, however, must realize that God's wisdom is infinitely greater than our own. Now, who do you want to trust and believe? Better pick God. You know, not me or not even yourselves. Notice the following verse there on your worksheet, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, and we look in, up into really a, what we'd consider an infinite sky. That's compared, you know, what he's comparing our thoughts to his thoughts. Wow, pretty small. We can thank the Lord that he will provide the wisdom we need in every situation in life. We simply must ask, and he will give liberally. James 1:5 on the worksheet. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And also, he enables us, by letter B, providing tenacity. God provides tenacity. Tenacity is just that stick-to-itiveness. You know, you're going to, you adhere to it. Your persistence, that's tenacity. Just hanging on tight. On the worksheet, Judges 8, 1 through 4. And the son of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. In other words, they wanted some to share some of the credit. Verse 2, and he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of the Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. In other words, you know, hey, you got all the fruit of all this. You know, what did I do? You got all the spoils. What are you mad at? So they're okay. That makes sense. Verse 4. Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, and he and the 300 men that were with him faint, yet pursuing them. God provided the tenacity of Gideon needed when he was criticized. If you do something for God, you will be criticized. Someone once said, to avoid criticism, you don't want to be criticized? Say nothing, do nothing, believe nothing. And nobody much can criticize you. Because, just as Second Timothy 3:12 tells us there on the worksheet, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And if we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. And I thought, well, that means we must be acting out in living godly. Otherwise, why would they persecute us? There's no reason. You know, you've often heard that. If you don't do anything, you know, nobody's going to criticize you or persecute you. So living godly means showing your faith, living out your faith. Otherwise, how would the others know that would want to persecute us? The Bible says in verse 4 that Gideon and his men were faint, yet they still pursued. Man did not provide the help Gideon needed. We see in Judges 8, 5 through 7 that the men of Succoth wouldn't help. In verse 9, the Bible records the men of Penuel wouldn't help him either. God was the only help Gideon had. God was the only help Gideon needed. A man came to D.L. Moody once and criticized him for his method he used in winning souls. Moody listened politely and then asked, well, how do you do it? And the man, taken aback by the question, quietly mumbled, well, I don't do it. I don't do that. Well, said Moody, I prefer the way I do it to the way you don't do it. Good response. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18 on your worksheet says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep our focus on the eternal and what's coming. Don't worry about all the problems we're going through now. So, in conclusion, go to this. God called Gladys Aylward to the mission field. She knew that God wanted her to go to China to tell about God's love. She attended the mission training school pending acceptance as a candidate. But she failed missionary training school. They told her that she was not qualified and refused to accept her as a missionary. Were they telling her God did not equip her to fulfill his purpose for her life? She had to wonder, you know, what's happening with that? Kind of makes you wonder just hearing that part of the story. Well, she refused to accept their decision and decided to trust God. Gladys was sure of her call and sure of her God. Taking a job as a maid, she saved money to buy a ticket to China. One day, she heard of an elderly missionary in China who was looking for someone to help her with her work. Gladys left for China in 1932, during a time when Japan was at war with Russia and China. When Gladys finally arrived, the retired missionary was surprised to see her, but put her to work immediately. She learned the Chinese language, a feat the mission board had told her was impossible. Sharing the gospel in surrounding villages, she began to take in unwanted children. The number of children under her care grew to 100. Through the circumstances of the war, Gladys and the children had to flee to the safety of Siam, over 100 miles away. Gladys once again depended on God, and he showed himself strong. At the end of a life of reliance on God, through many extreme circumstances, she wrote of herself, quote, "My heart is full of praise that one so insignificant, uneducated, and ordinary in every way could be used to his glory for the blessing of his people in poor, persecuted China," unquote. Like Gideon and his men, will you stand in your place? Will you pursue with purpose? We do not have to be strong or mighty people of courage before God can use us. He does not look at our abilities and our talents. He looks at our trust and obedience. By faith, we truly can move from discouragement to destiny. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, again, we thank you for the wonderful examples you've given us of really men just like us that have our own concerns and problems and things we try to deal with, but Lord, that can overcome through trust and obedience to you. So Lord, help us this morning to break free from our paralysis of fear that might overtake us. Lord, help us to exercise and to grow our faith in order to prove our faith, Lord, to make it stronger and our walk stronger, and knowing the whole time, Lord, that you will provide for us. You'll provide everything that we need to grow in you, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, just bless each that came and tuned in this morning to hear words of challenge and also of encouragement to go forth, but to go forth in your power and that you go with us and provide for us. Thank you for those promises. Thank you for the example of Gideon this morning. We ask a blessing on each that came and on the service to follow as the pastor gives us more and more information of what to expect and to help build our faith as for what might become and befall us. Ask a blessing on all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So next week, it's lesson number 8, the journey to Jericho. So that'll be a good one when we go up and see the walls of Jericho coming down. So as I promised, the song to follow, I want you to stand and sing this and sing it as a prayer. Just be involved with the words of the song. We're plenty early. You don't have to rush out quite yet. And there's a special right in the middle. There's a little instrumental part. Take that time especially, just as a time of reflection and introspection. And a time of prayer as we sing, "Come now, every fount of blessing."